Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon this morning is based on the reading from Romans 4, especially these words. So also David pronounces a blessing upon the man to whom God reckons righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not reckon his sin. This is our text. Dr. Frontman, in commenting upon this whole passage in Romans 4, says that Paul is here painting a picture of a silent sinner justified gift-wise. That is, he's justified by God's grace through faith, so that all boasting and any assertion of the merit of man as a claim upon God is excluded. He means that sinners should become silent before God as far as any self-defense for their guilt, because we have none. But all of those who believe in the gospel promise are justified gift-wise, that is, as a pure gift of God's grace and pardon and acceptance. We believe that Christ has suffered for all of our sins, and that righteousness, his righteousness, is imputed to them who believe. St. Paul brings out two expert witnesses to testify about this gift-wise justification and this imputation of righteousness to the sinner. He brings out David and Abraham. In Psalm 32, Abraham says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom, against whom the Lord will not count his sin." And David goes on then to apply all of this to himself and to his sore conscience. He says, "I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest me the iniquity of my sin." Someone has said that just as the law is a mirror that shows us our sinfulness and our unworthiness before God, so also the gospel is a mirror that is like a mirror that would show a man always looking young and healthy, no matter what the other mirrors in the house show. The gospel is a mirror in which we always see ourselves guiltless and righteous for Jesus' sake. And that's not a trick mirror, but it reflects reality. The gospel shows what we are before God by God's grace. That is what we are when Christ life and death and resurrection are reckoned as ours, and all sins are washed away, and we are declared just. It is an accurate mirror that shows no guilt, because as Micah put it, "Thou wilt cast all of our iniquities into the depths of the sea." Now bring out Abraham for a witness. Abraham was justified gift-wise. He believed in the Lord, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. But Abraham, as a witness, might be cross-examined in this way. "Abraham, isn't it true that you were a man of the law supremely, and that you were counted righteous and God's friend because you were circumcised in dedication to him and because you worked for him and served him?" St. Paul insists that this argument cannot stand up in court. In Genesis, Abraham, the believer, was called righteous through faith long before he was circumcised and dedicated through circumcision. His dedication through circumcision gave testimony to the righteousness that was already imputed to him gift-wise. And Abraham did not rely upon his dedication and circumcision or service to God for his standing before God. When he was pleading with the Lord for the survival of Sodom, he did not base his privilege of prayer upon his circumcision or his dedication to God, but rather upon the promises of God which had just been reaffirmed to him at that time. and upon the word of God to him then, which had called him his friend. Abraham knew his nothingness and his fallibility before the Lord at that time. And he said, I have taken it upon me to speak to the Lord, though I am but dust and ashes. He knew that he was a poor, needy creature and sinner, that he fully deserved to go down to the dust in death and destruction, that he needed, like other Old Testament people, often to repent in dust and ashes, that he was unclean and imperfect, dusty and burnt to ashes in many ways. Dust and dirt are often used by us as images of our pitiful condition, like in this little prayer. Lord, clean me quickly. Wash out my spots, my frequent stains before they set. Sweep up the soil that muddy thoughts track through my mind. Deliver me from ground in dirt. Amen. Someone has compared our lives to a lake which may have a breathtaking silvery beauty on the surface, but if it were drained off, it would show ugly ooze and filthy mud and all manner of creeping things in the slime. Who of us would want to be drained off in this way and to have all of our thoughts and impulses and secrets and tendencies exposed as they actually are to God? The scriptures call us to acknowledge that we are dust and ashes and to confess our unrighteousness. The person who resists doing that, who will not be a silent sinner, is like unto that person that found fault with everyone except himself and came to a community declaring, this whole town stinks. The townspeople decided to teach him a lesson, and while he slept in his hotel room, they put strands of Limburger cheese in his mustache. When he awoke, he said, this room smells foul. He went down to the hotel desk and said, this whole hotel stinks. And he went outside and said, this whole town smells terrible. But he never thought to look for the source of the trouble in himself. All of that is ridiculous. But it is no more ridiculous than we are to God when we don't acknowledge our sinfulness before him. It is no more ridiculous than that church service a few years ago in which the preacher prayed, O Lord, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately corrupt, says the prophet. Thou knowest, O Lord, that we cannot accept this, because we know that man does not will to do evil but fails only from lack of knowledge. In truth, we know that our only hope is to have righteousness imputed to us and reckoned as ours. We need a gift-wise justification. And that righteousness which is imputed to us must be the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, who at the end of his lifetime was found to be without moral stain and blemish. By the righteousness of that one shall many be made righteous. The gospel promises that all who believe on this Savior shall be justified by faith and have peace with God. The gospel promise was given to Abraham, and at that time it was still dim and obscure, but still glorious and life-giving and comforting. God promised Abraham that his name and his family would be great, and that in him and in his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. But Abraham could see that the starting point for all of this was missing. He had no child. But he was told not to worry about this. God took him outside and showed him the uncountable stars of heaven and said, so shall your descendants be. Abraham believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham couldn't see how the promise could be fulfilled, and neither can we understand the wondrous work of God in bringing about the gospel blessing. We don't understand either how the barren Sarah could give birth to Isaac, and that's the least of all the gospel blessings. We cannot comprehend how the Lord could become flesh, or how he could do it in the womb of a virgin, or how his blood can cleanse us from all iniquity, or how his righteousness can be reckoned as ours, or how the devils can be made to flee, or how the seeming foolishness of preaching can save men, or how the resurrection to glory takes place, or how it is that we can have nothing and yet possess everything, or how the meek shall inherit the earth. But this is all the truth of the gospel. To quote Franzmann again, faith is open-eyed realism. It faces the reality of God, who is revealed as the Creator, whose possibilities begin where man's possibilities end. Faith does not suppress the truth about man either. Faith is wide open toward man's impotence. May we always enjoy this open-eyed faith. May we ever aim to be nothing other than silent sinners justified gift-wise. And may we spend our lifetime and eternity unpacking that gift that God gives to us. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.